The United States is the developed nation with the highest rates of inequality in the world. And the inequality is on a scale we haven't seen in our lifetimes, according to our next guest. But instead of being a simple matter of how much money we make, our perception of inequality has a huge impact on how healthy we are, how likely we are to take risks, and how we think about the world around us.
Keith Payne joins us now. He's a professor of psychology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and he's the author of the book, The Broken Ladder, How Inequality Affects the Way We Think, Live, and Die. Keith, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, Keith, how does the U.S. stack up when it comes to different measures of inequality?
Among economically developed countries, we are the most unequal and by a large margin.
And can you define, dig in a little bit, what we mean when we use that term inequality?
So when social scientists talk about inequality, what we're really talking about is the size of the gap between the wealthiest and the poorest in society. So when people hear inequality, often they think about poverty, but it turns out that income inequality, that gap between the top and the bottom, is driven even more by the wealth of the very rich in society than by the poverty of the poor.
And you start your book with a very interesting story. It's about two separate incidents on an airplane, which becomes sort of a microcosm for what happens in society when there are big rates of inequality. Can you tell us about that, about the stories of Joseph Sharkey and Ivana Trump?
Right. So in the case of Joseph Sharkey, nobody exactly knows why he did what he did, but he stood up and started attacking the passenger behind him in coach, and the flight attendants had to restrain him. Once they did that, he tried to break away and tried to open the door of the airplane in mid-flight, and so they had to sort of pile on him and bind his hands until the plane landed, and he was charged with criminal charges. There was a case in first class with Ivana Trump a number of years ago that made a lot of headlines, in which she didn't get violent like that, but she had sort of a tantrum because some crying children wouldn't be quiet, and she had had enough of it. And from news reports, she was asked to leave the plane. And I tell those two stories because they're emblematic of scientific research that's been done that shows that in the context of airplanes, airplanes with a first-class cabin are several times more likely to have air rage incidents like that than airplanes that don't have first-class cabins. And in those that do have first-class cabins, if you board from the front and have to walk past all of the first-class section before you get to your seat, those flights have more frequent incidents of air rage than flights that board in the middle, so you don't have to walk past the first-class cabin. And what those studies suggest is that airplanes are like this microcosm of inequality in our world, because even though the people in coach seats aren't poor, it costs several hundred dollars to fly, these people are mostly middle-class people. Just the presence of the first-class cabin seems to create tension, seems to create anxieties, and it ends up leading to bad behavior among both people in coach and people in first class. And I think that study's an interesting way to distill what we have going on when inequality gets very high at a national level in a very concrete image of that airplane.
And how closely does that awareness of inequality correlate with social problems? If you're looking, for instance, at either a city or the nation as a whole, our society, problems like crime, problems like health issues and mortality, how closely does that mirror what's happening there?
There's a strong relationship between the amount of inequality, either in a country, if you're comparing across wealthy developed nations, or if you look within the United States from one state to another. Both countries and states with higher levels of income inequality have worse outcomes on a huge range of social and health problems. So states with higher inequality have higher crime rates. They have shorter lifespans. They have higher rates of infant mortality. They have higher rates of obesity, higher rates of smoking, on and on. And these are normally problems that we think of as being associated with poverty. But among wealthy developed nations, they're actually more closely associated with inequality than with poverty.
So why is that? What's going on there?
Well, there are a number of things going on, but one of the central things that happens when inequality gets very high is that average middle-class people start feeling relatively poor by comparison. People who have enough to get by still feel left behind. You know, if you look at how income distributions have changed in America over the last 50 years or so, the bottom three-fifths of the country are essentially right where they were. If you look at income or inflation-adjusted dollars, their incomes are just about the same as they were in the 1960s. But people don't feel like they're doing just as well as they ever did. And the reason is that the top few percent have gotten much, much wealthier very fast. And by comparison to the top 5%, the top 1%, even middle-class people feel like they're being left behind.
We're talking with Keith Payne right now. He's the author of the book, The Broken Ladder, How Inequality Affects the Way We Think, Live, and Die. And Keith, you're right about what you call a simple truth of human nature, that we crave status. Now, we don't often think we crave status when we think about our core values, status among them, but it is something you say is true. I mean, how do you see that manifesting in the way we think about ourselves when we mentally maybe place ourselves on that ladder between the people who are at the very bottom and the people who are at the very top?
Right. So, you know, talking about it in terms of status is a sort of, it's a way social scientists talk about it. It's not the way we talk about it in our daily lives, but we kind of know at a intuitive level that people care about how they're seen by other people, and people care about the kinds of goods and clothing and cars that we display to other people, right? So there's a sense in which we all kind of know that we crave status. So all that means is that we want to keep up with other people. We don't like to be on, you know, if you think about rating yourself on a ladder for that has 10 rungs, are you a 10 at the top or a 1 at the bottom? Nobody wants to be on the bottom half of that ladder. We'd all like to be on the top half, right? So even though we don't think about it as status, that's essentially what's going on whenever we try not to be left behind.
And so there's a lot that's going on in terms of our perception. Like, as you said, if we're aware, if we're walking through first class, it changes how we feel. We might feel like we're poor compared to someone else. And there's so many ways to observe wealth in our society. On TV, we could watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We could watch celebrity weddings. There's a number of things that could make us feel as though we're not doing so well, regardless of how much money we make. So can you tell us a little more about how that plays out and how we conduct our lives and how we think about our relationship to other people?
Right. So you were talking about the relationship between sort of what we see around us and how we feel, how wealthy or poor we feel. And the interesting thing is there's not a very strong relationship between people's actual incomes, if you just look at their dollar amounts, and how wealthy people feel. So if you ask them to rate themselves on a scale, 1 to 10 scale or whatever, you know, the two are correlated, but not that strongly. And what that means is that there are a lot of people who rate themselves very high in subjective wealth who objectively aren't very wealthy. And there are a lot of people who rate themselves very low in subjective wealth, and objectively they're doing quite well. And if you look at how those different metrics, either people's actual incomes or how they feel about their incomes, if you look at how those two different metrics predict those kinds of outcomes that we were talking about before, like health, like educational performance and things like that, it turns out that the subjective ratings are often a better predictor than people's actual incomes. And so when the situation gets more and more unequal, larger and larger proportions of the population feel like they're low in status, even if they're not. And so the difference between people's literal bank accounts and how wealthy they feel turns out to be more important for those outcomes. And the reason is that people make decisions based not on their accounting of their bank accounts, but on how they feel at the moment. Any human faced with a decision, you know, in daily life tends to do a gut check and go, well, how do I feel about it? And that's one reason why those subjective feelings have more of an impact in people's daily lives.
Keith Payne stays with us now. He's a professor of psychology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And we're talking about his new book. It's called The Broken Ladder, How Inequality Affects the Way We Think, Live, and Die.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see yourself being affected in this way by inequality? Has feeling poor ever compelled you to make bad decisions, overloaded you with stress? Do you think there is this gap between how much wealth we have or don't have and how much wealth we think we have, how wealthy we feel based on our comparisons to other people? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're continuing our conversation now with Keith Payne, professor of psychology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. He's got a new book out, and we're talking about that book today. It's called The Broken Ladder, How Inequality Affects the Way We Think, Live, and Die.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like you're slipping behind economically? And how does that make you feel? Have you had a point in your life where you've started making more money than you used to, and yet, even with that extra income, you still feel like you're behind, you can't get ahead? Do you have questions about how income inequality and how we feel about it affects us? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Keith, public assistance programs like welfare and food stamps, they're a hot political topic right now, pretty much always have been. How do we tend to think about whether or not those programs are a good idea based on our sense of inequality?
Well, when most people decide about whether they support or oppose those kind of programs, they look at it in one of two ways. Either consider whether the people receiving benefits are deserving or not, and that's where most people stop. And sometimes people also consider whether or not they think it will actually help people. And it's interesting that, you know, whenever people think about those who are receiving social welfare benefits of various kinds, they think about it as an individual issue, like whether a person is hardworking or not. But if we take a step back, we know that we can predict how well a child is going to do in school and how much money they're eventually going to make and things like that before they're even born, if we know nothing about them except the zip code and or the county in which they're about to be born into. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to think about this as a purely individual issue and look at what differentiates the rich from the poor. What makes more sense, I think, is to look at the social conditions that let us predict with such accuracy that in certain counties or states, based on the level of poverty and also the level of inequality, that certain people are just not going to have a chance to do well. And you can predict that before a child is born.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Melanie joining us from Iron River. Melanie, hi.
Hi. I just want to say, you know, I think materialistically and day-to-day life, my family is very comfortable, and we certainly don't want for anything. But there is kind of a constant knowledge that one big medical bill could wipe us out, and certainly some of that feels like it's due to greed on the part of the pharmaceutical and the insurance companies, and that's really frustrating that their CEOs make so much money and we have to pay so much and that we could get wiped out even though, you know, realistically we're doing fine.
Melanie, thank you for that. And Keith, what about maybe living with the anxiety that can come along with worrying about that next bill and also perceiving that, you know, someone else has this power over my family to make or break us?
Right. So that sense of uncertainty is another way in which people's subjective feelings have powerful effects, even if you are a comfortable middle-class family, right? So our bodies react to that sort of uncertainty, the impending possibility that there may be a threat if there is an emergency around the corner. in the same way that they react to the actual presence of a physical threat, right? So we have a stress response that responds across the whole body in very much the same way. And so at a very physical level, the uncertainty and the from being in a precarious situation, and as the caller said, being sort of one medical problem away from having a real crisis, has many of the same psychological and medical and biological effects as actually living in poverty.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Melanie. And Doug from Wisconsin Dells, really brief, please.
Sorry, just a quote that I don't remember where I got it from, but it was, poor is a condition, broke is temporary. So poverty has to do with how you believe yourself to be and never getting out of it, but you can be broke just once in a while.
Doug, thank you for that call. And Keith, what about that quote? Do you hear something in that?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. It has to do with people's expectations for the future, right? So Americans are famous for our optimism. And, you know, about a third of young adults in one recent poll said they expected to be rich one day, right? So people are very optimistic. And that's great. But one thing to keep in mind is that actual economic mobility is highly correlated with rates of inequality. And in places where the inequality is highest, social mobility is actually the lowest.
And we leave it there. Keith, thank you so much for making time to talk today.
Good to talk to you.
That was Keith Payne, professor of psychology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. He's the author of the book, The Broken Ladder, How Inequality Affects the Way We Think, Live, and Die.